Thank you that through this worship and praise, Father, we come before you and we come into your presence. Thank you, Lord God, that you love us. Thank you this morning, Father, that as we praise and worship you, Father, I just acknowledge that I allow things to come between me and you, Lord. And that all unfulfilled desire on my inside, Father, is my desire for you. And I acknowledge you this morning, Father. We as a congregation come this morning and we ask for your forgiveness where we allow things to come between you and us, Lord. Where we allow things to take place in our heart and to put roots down in our hearts. Because our hearts were meant only for you. And all things were meant to serve us. And we know, Lord, that things sometimes control our lives and becomes idols in our lives. And I pray this morning, Father, as each one of us is here, where a new quarter is starting for us, Father, for the agriculture, actually a new year is starting, Lord. So our desire is more of you. Our desire is to remove the things that bring separation between us and between you, Lord. Because it is your presence, Father, it's your love, it's your Father heart, it is your guidance and your glory that our heart is hungry for, Lord. Sometimes we don't even know it. We are just unfulfilled. And this morning, Father, I just pray over each one here, Lord, to see deeper than the unfulfillment. And to acknowledge that the unfulfillment is a longing of the heart that you have put inside of us when we were created to be in fellowship with you. Every longing in us is for you. Every desire in us, ultimately, Lord, longs for relationship with you. And I pray, God, for this morning that your word will come. Father, when we talk of the things of the Spirit, we need your word, because it's Hebrews 4:12 that says it's your word that discern between spirit and soul and bone and marrow. And we need your word, Father, to cut through into our hearts this morning. I pray for our hearts to be open to receive from you, Lord. Will you use every word and form us and prepare us and pull us closer to you in this coming quarter, Father. I come to declare, Lord, that I'm available and I'm open for you to change my life in this next 3 months, Lord. And I want to pray that for each one here, Lord, because it is to your glory and for our well-being that you changes us. And we love you for that, Lord. We love you for that. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated. Sure, I can't even remember one name except Anshin's name. But there was a very long chap from Samoa. And I believe God has a word for you, and he just showed me when you were standing up here that as tall as you are, he wants to make you a tower of light in your nation and the place you're coming from. May God raise you to be a man and to be in stature the light that you represent where you are, as tall as you are in the physical. I pray that over you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to start off, I'll just share a short word as an introduction into this next 3 months. Maybe just to go back. The Lord started this year with us, talking to us about relationship, verhouding, that God say, as julle mekaar lief het, when you love one another, the world will know that I'm the Christ, and they will know that you are my disciples. And in the church, we are lacking this close and solid covenant relationship that God is talking about. And in the second semester, or second quarter of this year, he started talking to us about healing us as the living stones in this body, so that we will be able to live that covenant relationship. And that is what God has talked with us as a congregation in the path that he walked with us over this last 6 months. Relationship, but be healed, spirit, soul and body, so that we are able to lift that relationship. Otherwise, we're just not where God wants us. So he wants to heal us and to grow us, restore us, and that we will be able to live the way he meant it to be. And in that, have that close fellowship that the world will know. And I believe God has, even in our convergence, the theme for convergence, our yearly conference, the theme is being one. Talks about relationship, that covenant relationship again. And I believe God is taking us these next 3 months through some more healing, some more restoration, some more freedom. And then in the last quarter, I believe God wants to really pull us closer together. He's already doing that. But in that last quarter, really pulls us together, because there's a harvest that has to experience this covenant relationship. And when people come to church, the first thing they're looking for is that covenant relationship that God is talking about. And when we fail them in that relationship, we fail them in their primary need that they have, relationship with the body of Christ. So this is not only for your own sake. It is for the sake of the kingdom and for the community that God wants to restore you as an individual, as part of the living stones of the body. And I really want to encourage you guys. When I came back from holiday, there was 3 Sundays over the holiday period that I weren't here. So I just want to thank Anshin and Colin and Corinne and Albrecht that took the responsibility on those 3 Sundays. And 2 of the 3 sermons were recorded. It's on the internet. Please go and listen it. It cut my heart right through, because God talked about inviting us into the body, relationship with the body, and relationship with him, being fulfilled and satisfied. So please go and listen to those 2 sermons on the internet. I think I loved it when on the one word, all that word does for me is it turns me to Christ. It turns me to Jesus in everything. Dying to self is not by my own strength. It's going to Christ and say, Lord, help me. I'm not even able to die to self on my own. I need you to help me with it. Those sermons were just brilliant. And thank you for that, guys. Thank you for so wonderful to come back and to see. It's a bit intimidating when it goes better when you're away, but I'll step up. So just the introduction this morning. Maybe I should stick to the notes. It will go quicker. Otherwise, I'm all over the place again. God created us as a tripart being. God created all of us, spirit, soul, and body. You are not only a body. You're not only a spirit. You've got a soul dimension as well. And there's interaction between the 3 parts you consist of. And they influence one another. But the most vital part is your spirit. Can we agree on that? Your most vital part is your spirit. And it's James 2. I'm not going to all the scriptures, because we're going to run out of a lot of time. Just take too much time. It says, the rest is dead without the spirit. And we know that when the spirit leaves you, the rest is dead. There's nothing left. And just in society today, I think I see many people in the medical, and we've studied the body to every cell and what's going on in every cell. We've got so much knowledge, and there's so many people into studying the body of the human, knowing exactly how it works. And we've got a whole industry right through the world on healing the body. And we've got a whole industry right through the world that's there to heal the soul. Just to maybe put a bit to the soul, it's your mind, how you think and you reason. It's your emotions, how you feel and respond. And it's your will, where you make decisions, your soul area. And we can just, as we think, the whole world is full of industries that is trying to help us to be whole in the way we think, how we respond, and how we take decisions. And my opinion is, even in the church sometimes, we lack depth in understanding the spirit. And we lack discipling and healing in the spirit of the human man. So God really, I believe God wants to walk with us through this next 3 months, through Sundays, through Encounter 3, Encounter 4. That's discipleship courses that the congregation has to help us to become whole again. I'll now get to a few scriptures. But God wants you to be whole because sin and Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to make you sick. He wants to make you think wrong. And he wants your spirit dead. Because if your spirit is dead, you're not able to communicate with God. In your spirit is where you have relationship with God, where you communicate with God, and where you have fellowship with God. And when your spirit is dead, or when your spirit is impaired, wanneer jou gees gebroken is, then you struggle to have full relationship with God in the way He intended it to be. And God wants us to focus on our spirit, the human spirit this week. Many times we will preach and have sermons and discipleships on how the Holy Spirit works. With what area in our human body or in us as a human being, what of us is it that relates and communicates and is led by the Holy Spirit? It's my spirit. So if my spirit struggles and is impaired, is sick, it struggles to be led by the Spirit. So God wants really for us to be healed in our spirit as well, so that we can live the fulfilled and complete life that He intended to for us. So maybe if you've got your Bibles with you, just open up there 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23. Just read that scripture together. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. So I'll read it in English. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says that He came, and His intention is that you may, in your spirit, soul, and body, be blameless, be whole. And then we can have the fulfilled life and function the way we should. In all three, God wants to restore and make us whole. I want you to turn just quickly to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 as well. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And many of us can relate with this. When our spirit was still dead, we couldn't discern the things of the Spirit. We were just unable to understand the things of God. It was foolishness to us. It didn't make any sense because you can't discern it with your mind and with your body. You can't relate to it. You need your spirit to do that. So maybe just God said in Genesis 1, He said, let us make mankind in our image. So we represent something of God's image. And He's what kind He is. It's in us. He created in us. So our spirit would relate to the Holy Spirit. And what's the primary function of the Holy Spirit? The primary function of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to maybe read a few of scriptures. You don't have to turn there. Think about it. What is the primary function of the Holy Spirit? If you want to write it down, you don't need to turn there. John 6, 63. The primary function of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. We see that the Spirit was there at creation. We see that it is the Spirit that brings a new life into a woman. It is the Holy Spirit that brings life. And when our own spirit is impaired, we lack life. When our own spirit is sick, we lack life. And what's the first step of repairing your spirit? What's the first step of the process to restore your spirit to its full potential? What's the first step? Jesus answers Nicodemus in John 3. And what does he say to them? Be born again. It says, the spirit is dead because of sin. So because of sin, your spirit is dead. And Jesus says, no one can see me and come to me if his spirit is not reborn. If the Holy Spirit meets you, and many, if not most of us, can testify of this, that day or moment or period where we came to God and say, Lord, I want to make peace with you. I want to give my life to you. I want you to be my God and Savior. On my own, I'm dead. And life is not making sense. I can speak a whole week about life not making sense without God. Not because I read in the Word, I've experienced it. And many, if not most of us, has experienced it. If you are without God and without Christ, without His life within you, being having a life spirit, life doesn't make sense. We can try all of it. Money, women, power. Nothing makes sense without the life of God inside of you. Because you were created and intended to have relationship with God. And you can only have that relationship. That's what 1 Corinthians 2:14 says. You can only have that relationship with God if your spirit has become alive. Well, there's a second thing that we read in the Word. I'm just quickly going through it. What is the next step to build up your spirit, your own spirit? What do we see? What happened to the people that when Paul and Peter preached the gospel to them? He said to them, repent, be baptized, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. God sent His own spirit to come and live within you. It builds up and it restores your own spirit. It's the second step that happens. It was so wonderful for me and Marinda and part of the family on this holiday. It was a Damara. I mean, we were up in Namibia, nearby Angola, and there was a chap that I met there, and he was a local there, knowing the area, and there's a desert elephant is in that area, and I truly wanted to see them again, or for the first time in my life. And so I asked this local chap, Where are the desert elephant? He says, no, he knows the Rivier Beddings, the river, and we should go up it, and he'll go and show me. And so his shift ended at 2 o'clock that afternoon, and we were with him, 5 in the car. We went into this river, and it's obviously a dry river, so you drive all the way up this river. And as we drove there, it was about 2 years since they had any rain in that area, very, very dry. And so just to get a conversation going, I asked him, shouldn't we get the people together to pray for rain? He says, no, sir, we only get together to drink. That's not for praying. And so I asked him, so do you know Jesus and is he your Savior? Do you know him? He says, yes, I do belong to the church here and I go very often. He says, I'm going very often to the houses of the heathens to preach the gospel to them. So I'm a heathen. So I said to him, so would you please share the gospel with me? I would like to hear what you've got to say. Whew, me and my family was blown away by that chap. He lived his whole life there, and he started off by saying to me, I want you to remember, nothing that you have in this life, you can take along to the next. You remember that. And the second thing, death is a tough place. You make sure you have God with you when you get there. And then for the next 20 minutes, he shared the gospel with me. And we train people for it. He just does it. He's got his own testimony in between the whole New Testament. And the one thing that stayed with me is his father died very early, and he said it was going tough with them while his dad was living. But he got to get into new tough when his dad died. And you remember one evening, he was still a boy in his mother's home. One evening his mother was on her knees in the middle of the room, And he used an Afrikaans word, guys, I'll get to it. He says, en jy weet mos, ons kinders naap ons ouers. Hy vra vir my, weet jy wat dit beteken? Ek sê, ja, kort, soos hy die gospel vir my verduidelik, maak hy seker of ek verstaan wat hy sê, jy weet. Ek sê, no, understand. So he says to me, he saw his mother in their desperation on her knees in the middle of their room. They've got one room houses there, about this size. That's how big it is. Four poles in the corners, and then branches in between that is covered with mud and cow dung mixed together. That's the house. His mother was on her knees in the middle of the room, the little room, and he was watching her. And he said, the next moment I found myself imitating what she's doing beside her on my knees in the middle of the room. Yeah, and he used these two profound sentences, he said. And God came that evening and he sent his spirit to live within me. He says, and from that day on, I had a father again that looked after me. We were crying. I couldn't see the road. I had my sunglasses on. I was driving. He was sitting next to me and he carried on sharing the gospel. So simple. Sometimes we make it so difficult. So simple. God sends his spirit to live within us. And then we get to know the Father that wants to look after us. And that is what all of our hearts is longing for. The two things that he shared with me that day. God's Spirit in us and knowing the Father to be trustworthy. Not to worry. Not to worry. God wants his Spirit to live within us. And he wants our spirit to be strong. We read in Luke, I think it's Luke 1 verse 80. We read about John the Baptist and he became strong in the spirit. And all of us can testify how sometimes our spirit is weak. Because we are supposed, if our spirit is the primary part of who God created, our soul and our body is supposed to be led by our spirit. But many times our spirit doesn't lead. Because of many different reasons. And God wants to teach us how to get our spirit so strong that it always will lead. Because we need to face one another, we need to face God, and we need to face this life with our spirit, not with anything else. Many times we only face this life with our soul. And you cannot have victory and a fulfilled life facing this life with your soulish area. We need to face it with our spirit. But our spirits is not strong always, and it needs to be built up. We know we need the word, we need fellowship, we need praying, and we need not to defile our spirits so that our spirit can become strong and that it may lead us. I just want to close one sentence I want to read to you. When the human spirit is brought alive to God by the Spirit and is functioning the way God intended it, life would be full and satisfying. But our spirits, and all of us, even believers, our spirit is not always functioning the way it should. And that's why we lack that fulfillment and the life God intended. I'm closing by just mentioning, and God would help us through the next 3 months to work through these different areas where our spirit has been sick or injured or broken, whatever we want to call it. So I'm just going to mention them. I'm not going to read all the scriptures. That's going to take too much time. But sometimes we operate with a timid and fearful spirit. Do we agree with that? I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about believers. Believers are timid and fearful. And Timothy says, do not do that. It's not what God intended us for us. So we are frightened at every new situation. It frightens us. We've got fear in our life. And many times we isolate all of these things I'm going to mention. Just watch out for it in your own life, in the way we disciple. And every time we experience something of this, we allocate it to our emotions. And it's not only in our emotions that we are fearful. It is in our spirit that we fear. And God wants us to be restored in the spirit. So timidity and fearfulness, sometimes the spirit of a believer is imprisoned. And God wants to set us free. That's what he said in Isaiah 61. Sometimes, so when we are imprisoned, we are isolated, we are turned into ourselves, and we struggle to communicate with others. We struggle to communicate. We are depressed. We are crushed. We've got a low self-worth, and we fail all the time. It's difficult to sustain anything long-term. And as I read through these things, as I went through the scriptures, I could just relate to these things in myself and to people around me, that I can see how we are serving God, but somewhere something in us is crushed. We are not able to sustain. And we need God to heal those areas in our spirit, that our spirit can become strong. Our spirit can be broken, and that's many times when we are wounded, we have grief. And as I said, we think this is our emotions, but it is in our spirit. I just want to read a scripture, because otherwise scripture says it better than I can. Proverbs 15 verse 13. I just quickly want to read that to you guys. Proverbs 15 verse 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Can I read it again, the last part? But by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Sometimes we have come to Christ, he made our spirit alive, but there's a brokenness because of the grief and the sorrow that we experienced that God wants to heal. We struggle to live like we intended to be. Sometimes we struggle with an orphan spirit. I think for me, when I lost my dad, I struggled for a long time of having an orphan spirit, just feeling lonely. I came to Christ. I laid down my life. He gave me a new spirit. He made my spirit alive, but I was lonely. I was always lonely, looking for the Father that Salatili told me about this holiday again. So even David had this deep sense of loneliness. Job had a broken spirit after the troubles he went through. So in this coming 3 months, I would really want to invite the congregation to steward the opportunities of getting healed and growing in your spirit, that you can say as John the Baptist, I became strong in my spirit during that 3 months. To steward the opportunities and to take the word of God and put it into practice in your life. Put it into practice in your cell groups so that God can heal us in our spirit as well, if there's any areas in our spirit that is still weak and broken, impaired, imprisoned, or defiled. That God may help us with that. Encounter 3, Encounter 4 will help us with that. The word on Sundays will help us with that. But we need to steward the opportunity, being one in focus, that we are busy with what God wants to do in our congregation during this next 3 months. Come, let us pray together. Father, thank you for this morning that we can be in your presence, Lord. And I pray for each one as we leave here, Lord, that we will spend time to be in your presence during this week, Lord. As we pray and fast for the next 3 days, Father, I pray that each one of us be touched by you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will speak to us about what you want to do in this coming 3 months. I pray, Father, that we will have as a congregation a unity and a focus on you coming to heal and teach us about our human spirit. Lord, we desire that our spirit is strong, communicating and relating well to the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, so that our spirits may lead our body and our soul, our thoughts, our mind, our decisions, being led by the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Father God, I pray that we would be reminded that your yoke is light and easy. I pray, Father, that that we will turn to you and not to our own strength, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that you will bless our encounter three, or our foundation three and foundation four discipleship courses during this coming quarter, Lord. I pray for our small groups, Father. I pray for deep fellowship and relationship. I pray for time together as family and friends, Lord. I pray that you will build us up as a congregation, as a safe place, as a place of hope, as a place of light, Lord, as a place of your wisdom. I pray, Father, teach us to live the gospel in the way that you intended it to be. Thank you, Father, that I can pray your blessing over each one here this morning, especially Anshin and the group from French Hook, Lord. Bless their training, bless their fellowship, their being together. And Lord, I pray for those hearts that you want to speak about the children's ministry in our congregation. Lord Jesus, will you call the men and women forth that you have anointed and gifted to work with the children? In Jesus' name. And Father, even those that think I'm not anointed, I'm not gifted. Lord, we know many times we're not even aware of what you have placed inside of us. May you speak to us, Lord, and touch our hearts. We pray for the school semester, Father, that's in front of us. Pray for all our children. Father, will you protect them and bless them? I pray for our priorities, Lord, in our families. May we choose well and wise. May we say yes to the right things, Lord. Our desire, Lord, this quarter that is ahead, that we may glorify your name, that we may live from a place of rest, and that our priorities would be your kingdom. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As Tiana said, I really want to invite you guys, and I, for the whole of the quarter, I really want you to plan your Sunday as that fellowship after the more formal part of getting together on a Sunday, that fellowship afterwards should be part of your plan. It should be part of the way you structure your day. Put a slot out for that, 40, 45 minutes, and come and have a cup of tea. Pray with someone, meet someone, get to know someone new, and invite someone over for dinner or whatever. Let us have fellowship right here on a Sunday as well. And I hope that you guys would do my English is now run out. I'm out of English. But that we would just meet with the guys, ask them, talk to them. And we had only one guy's work in Vietnam, and talk to the rest of the guys. Let's have a cup of tea and coffee. And may you have a blessed 3 days in the presence of God as we fast and pray together tomorrow. Amen.